folks. Well, as you can see, I've got a little bit of a PowerPoint set up here, and I'm going to hop up here as we teach tonight, which is unusual for Wednesday night, but that's because I can't click the clicker from down here. And I've got some slides here because there's a couple of things we're going to take a look at that I think will be a lot easier for us to follow along with if I can give you a visual display of some of these things. So a little bit different from what we normally do, but I think it'll be a blessing for everybody. So last few Wednesday nights, we've been going through the prophecies of Daniel. We've already covered Daniel chapter 2 and the statue with King Nebuchadnezzar. When we covered Daniel chapter 7, we spoke and we went through all of the four beasts of Daniel chapter 7. Tonight, we find ourselves in Daniel chapter 9, and we are dealing with the 70 weeks of Daniel. This is leading up to and concerning the prophecy of the end times, right? The end of this age. Now, a couple of things here. I told you in our last study that in chapter 7 and also in some of chapter 8, we see the affirmation of the interpretation that I gave you concerning the empires of Medo-Persia, as well as the empire of Greece, and with Alexander the Great and his four generals. And then we touched on a little bit the kingdom of the Antichrist in the end times. And we're going to touch on that a little bit tonight as well. But I also want to show you about the 69 weeks of those 70 weeks, and then we'll touch on the 70th week. All right? So before we get into the actual teaching and discussing and going through this, I want to make a disclaimer. All right? So pay attention to this because this is important. All right? I'm going to read it exactly the way that I wrote it here, so I make sure that I say this correctly. All right. Even though our discussion is over the 70 weeks, all right, found at the end of chapter 9, I'm going to show you one interpretation concerning how to calculate these 70 weeks out, or what is the most common known, most commonly accepted one, okay? But I don't want us to focus on the calculation of these dates because that's not really what's important. What's important here is what these 70 weeks of Daniel prophecy tells us concerning the days to come, all right? And that, of course, is telling us of the end, the coming of the Messiah, which we see in the first 69, and then the last week, the 70th week, is the tribulation period, right, the final seven. So that's the primary thing we want to focus on, not on on how it's calculated out. Some people calculate these 69 weeks differently. So if you calculate it differently than the common one that I'm going to show tonight, that's fine. All right, the church is not absolutely decided on how to calculate these. Depending on who you talk to, they're going to give you different ideas. I'm just going to show you one of those. And as I said, the main reason for that is to show you how that it points to Christ. So let's get down to the beginning of our prophecy. We may run a little bit late tonight due to time, but I think that it will be interesting and worth everybody's time, even if we do go over a little bit. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. So we'll begin there. Please turn to Daniel chapter 9. We're going to head down to verse 24 of Daniel chapter 9. I'll try to go through this as quickly as I can without missing anything. So if you're in the book of Daniel, so we'll begin reading here. So Daniel 29, verse 24 says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So we see a couple of things in this verse which have to come to completion before we can say that these weeks have transpired, before we can say that they've happened. These things have to happen, the things that it just named there. And I'll show you a breakdown of those things, which I hope that this is big enough for you guys to see. If not, then you can just see it right there in the verse, but I've tried to highlight some things for you for visual references here. So what are the things that have to happen from the scripture? First of all, we've got to finish transgression, right? Make an end of sins, reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. All right, anoint the most holy. So this means that the prophecy speaks of the Messiah making reconciliation for sin, and also we see it speaking of an everlasting kingdom, because we see there the fourth one names bring in everlasting righteousness for all. So we already know that it's talking about the kingdom to come in the end, right? God's kingdom. That's what's going to happen at the end of the 70 weeks. So, and we've been talking about this from Daniel's prophecy so far. We've looked at this both in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 and also in the dream of the visions of Daniel in chapter 7, how after the four great empires, the fourth one being Antichrist, we see the final kingdom, which is the kingdom of God. And that's where we see it described as a everlasting kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of God, the everlasting kingdom of righteousness. So that has to happen before the 70 weeks are completed. That hasn't happened yet, of course. So everything else has pretty much happened. But because of that, we know that these 70 weeks have not yet come to pass. Although there are some out there who will tell you that Daniel's prophecy is talking about things that have already come to pass. They have not. Now, move on with me verse 25. It says, now that it's named in verse 24, it named all the things that are going to happen. Now in verse 25, it begins to give a little bit of explanation, and it begins to give identification to certain days and dates and times. All right? It says, let me just click this. Boop. All right. So it says, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 80 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. So in this verse, we have the beginning of the given timeline, which is from the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now that we have a starting point, because it identifies when the starting point is, it says right in the very beginning, it says that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, so that's our starting time, whenever that happened, unto the Messiah the Prince, so unto Christ coming as Messiah, shall be 7 weeks, 80 weeks, and a score is 20, so 80 is 60. So we see 7 weeks, 60 weeks, and 2 weeks. If you add those up, we get 69 weeks. Right? So that's what it says. From the time of this decree to rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of Messiah, it gives us 69 weeks in between this passing of time. Now, you may notice that we have our starting point. We need to identify when that took place, right? We need to identify when this starting point is. So it tells us when it is, but we need to see, well, when did that happen? Now, you may remember in our study, we spoke about on a Wednesday night, not too very long ago, we spoke about the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the city walls and the temple. You guys remember a study in that? You may realize now, as we've been going book by book through the Bible on these Wednesday nights, I've not just been randomly picking chapters and events. I've only picked one or two events from each book of the Bible. The reason I chose the one in Nehemiah was so that when we go back and look at it tonight, you'll go, I know exactly what he's talking about. We studied that. So now let's go back to Nehemiah, which tells of when Israel, Jerusalem specifically, was rebuilt. Let's go back there and take a look at if there's any indication as to when that happened, because we know where to find that information at now, right? So let's see if we can find the necessary information we need for understanding these prophecies. If you would, please, go back with me to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2 is where we want to go. And we're going to take a look at verse number 1, right at the top of Nehemiah chapter 2. And this is what it tells us. It says, Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 1, "And it came to pass," now this is, sorry, I kind of got ahead of myself. Let me tell you this. Everything I'm about to read to you, all the verses from this point on, pay close attention to times, dates, months, everything. Because if you pay attention to all that stuff, when we get to the end, you're going to have a wow moment, an aha moment. All right? "It came to pass in the month Nisan," that is a time frame on the Jewish calendar that is sometime between March and April, "in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence." I give you verse 1 because even though it doesn't name the decree to go forth and rebuild Jerusalem, it does give us the dates, the timeline. All right? What you will notice is, as we read through this chapter, that this is the time when King Artaxerxes gives the decree to Nehemiah because of his sadness to go and to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. We see that as we go down through the chapter. He ends up talking about how he got a letter from the king to go unto the king's tree bearer, or the keeper of the tree king's forest, to get wood to rebuild the temple and the walls of the city, right? Now, the reason that we pick, now there are a couple of times, and I'll explain this, there are a couple of different dates that have been used. And remember when I told you at the beginning of our message, or the beginning of the lesson, really, this is more of a lesson in the Bible than it is a message. Remember when I told you that some people calculate these dates differently? They may use different starting points or different ending dates, right? So I said, don't focus too much on where we start and stop at, but just know that we're going to get the same information out, the same general information, which is that it tells us of the coming of Messiah, right? I'm going to show you why the most commonly accepted is the one we're going to look at here tonight, okay? And the reason that people use this date from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes the king is because if we go back and take a look in Daniel and verse 25, notice what it says about our starting point. It says, "From the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be such and such time." Give us the 72 weeks, the 69 weeks. Notice what it says at the end. "And the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times." There were four decrees given by different men, different kings, to go and rebuild Jerusalem. Each king was giving the decree or giving an acceptance from the king that came before him of the original decree. Okay, you've got Cyrus, you've got Darius, you've got Artaxerxes, and I can't remember the name of the fourth king, but there's another decree that comes at the end. All right, why do we pick Artaxerxes? Because Artaxerxes is the one who gave the decree when the walls were rebuilt, which is what is specifically mentioned in Daniel verse 25, the rebuilding of the city and the wall. It happened on this decree. All right, so moving on from there. You say, okay, well, what does this 20th year of his reign tell us? Well, our history majors, our people who are history buffs, you may well know that King Artaxerxes came into power, at least historians, history records, that he came into power on the year 465 BC. That's the year that he became king. So, if 465 BC was the year that he came into power, that means that the 20th year of his reign would be 445 BC, because in BC we're counting down to zero, right? We're counting down the years. So that means that the 20th year places us in the month of Nisan. The year is 445 BC. So going from there, we know now that this is our starting point, 445 BC in the month of Nisan. And we know, according to verse 25, that from this point, it is 69 weeks in Daniel's prophecy until the Messiah. So I've made some notes up here so you guys can follow along on these dates. Feel free, though, to write these down as we go, because we're going to do just a wee bit of math at the end so you can see how it all lines out. Don't worry if you're not a math person. I've got it up here for you. So you don't have to write anything down. Just follow along, and I'll show it all to you here, how we get this. Now, as we're going through, where are we at here? Okay, so before we can calculate this, before we can look at what Daniel's telling us here, we have to find out what a week is, right? Because it's 69 weeks is the identification that it gives us. Now, if you're thinking like most people think, well, we all know what we call a week, don't we? 7 days equals 1 week, right? 52 weeks in a year. But something about that doesn't work out, because 69 weeks would be a little over a year. It'd be about 1 1/4 years, right? 1 1/4 years from 445 BC does not put us at Christ, does it? We're missing the mark by about 400 something years. So our interpretation of week is not a week as we know it today. So we say, okay, well, where's the Bible explain where a week is? Where do we find that at in the Word of God? How can we get this without stretching or reaching, right? How can we get it from the Word of God? And that's always the way that we want to look at prophecy. Everything we're going to look at today, we're going to pull from other scriptures. So we've got to figure out what a week is. Go with me to Numbers. Go to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Go to verse 34, and we're going to find out how to calculate what a week stands for. Without us trying to guess or make it fit or do anything weird like that, we're going to take it always. That's the only way we should ever look at prophecy. You let Scripture interpret Scripture. So let's go now to chapter 14 of Numbers. Go to verse 34, and what does it say there at verse 34? After the number of days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Now here this is God talking to the Israelites as he's telling them about how they're going to spend their 40 years wandering in the desert, right? That's what he's talking to them about. 40 years they're going to bear their burden here. And it tells us specifically 40 days, and he says a year for every day, right? So now if we apply this to Daniel, why? Because this prophecy, does it come from Daniel? It comes from God through Daniel. So we use the same rule he used here in Daniel. So if we take a week to mean a year for every day, 1 week is 7 days. So 1 week in Daniel's prophecy is 7 years, not 7 days. So a week is 7 years. That's what the prophecy is telling us. That's going to be very important, especially when we get to our 70th week. All right? Our 70th week, because we're going to see that toward end times and speaking of the tribulation, which we'll get to shortly here. All right. So as you see, speaking to Moses and Aaron, now let's go and we apply this to our understanding of Daniel 9:25, meaning that a week is not 7 days, of course, but 7 years, as we just said. If we do some simple math and we multiply the number of weeks that Daniel talks about, which is how many? 69 weeks. And we take that times how many years? Seven. Does anyone know the number we get? 483. I know you know. I know you like prophecy, Pastor Peter. I know you know what this is. So he's absolutely right on the button. It's 483 years. All right. And to show you that I can do math. Ta-da! 483. I told you, see, I told you guys I had your back. You wouldn't have to do any mathematics tonight. I'm there for you. 483 is the number that we get. But I want to show you something. I kind of skipped ahead and showed you the slide right before I got to the explanation of the problem. I'm going to show you the problem. All right? So here's what we get. So we apply this, and it gives us 483 years. So if we use this in the prophecy, what do we find? Well, speaking of Christ coming as Messiah, which we believe happened sometime around 32 AD, that depends on who you talk to. Some people say it was 30 AD, some say it was 32 AD, some say it was 33 AD, but it was in there, okay? Without saying this is the day, it's right in that area. We know that it's right in that area, all right? So let's take a look at what we get when we punch these numbers in. If we take, as you see, I put negative 445. Why? Because it's BC, we're counting down. So if I add to that, it's going to come downwards in the way we want it to. We add the 483 years from Daniel's 69 weeks, and we just talked about how we got those 483 years. Preacher Fox was right on. We have to remember, though, we have to add 1 year, though. And here's why we have to add a year, and I'll explain this here shortly. There's a 0 year on a calculator, okay? So if you go on a number line, if you use your base 10 mathematics skills, zero counts as a number in math. But on a calendar, there is no 0 year. It goes from 1 BC, the next year is 1 AD. There is no zero. So that zero takes one of those years, those 483 years, the 0 year on our calculator, when we calculate it out, that zero takes one of them. So in order to counter that zero that isn't there on a calendar, we just add that one, and that's why I put the explanation of that's for the zero, and we come up with 39 AD. Is 39 AD when Messiah came? We believe that's too late. Pretty much everybody agrees that it happened sometime between 30 AD and 33 AD. Pretty much everyone, no matter how you look at it, pretty much everyone agrees that it was within those 3 years of it, 3 or 4 years. So 39 AD is too long. So what went wrong? We know Daniel wasn't wrong. That was a prophecy from God. So we must be wrong somewhere. Did we forget to carry the one? In mathematics, anytime I got it wrong, that's all it was. It was always, oh, I didn't carry the one. That's not what it is here. I'll explain what happened here, and we'll get the numbers right here in just a minute. So let's talk about the problem. The problem isn't the numbers that we used. The problem is the calendar that we used. Let me explain. The calendar that we use today is known as the Gregorian calendar, all right? And it's based on a 365.2422 solar year. What that means, all these numbers I just threw out, it means that the way we calculate a year today is based on the Earth's rotation around the sun, which we commonly say is 365 days. But if you want to get exact scientific mathematic, it's 365 days, 0.2422. That is a scientific year to the decimal. Solar year, right? Rotation around the sun. The problem with that is this. Daniel didn't use a solar year. The solar year didn't come about until about 45 AD, and it was first introduced by Julius Caesar with something called the Julian calendar. It was then improved upon, which is the calendar we use today, about, I think it was 4 or 5 years later, and we have what's known as the Gregorian calendar. That's the calendar we use. That's what we just calculated this using. The people of Israel, God's people, the Hebrews, the Jews, they didn't use that. It didn't exist. Also, Daniel, who was Jewish and a Hebrew, obviously, also lived in the time, was lived in and was raised as a Babylonian. The Babylonians used the same calendar that the Jews used. And it's different from ours. And I'll show you the differences, and we'll use the calculations, and you'll see things begin to change and shift a little bit. So I'm going to start explaining how we get this. Now, let's talk about how we fix this calendar issue and why it didn't work. So the Jewish and the Babylonian calendar, remember I told you our calendar today is based on the solar cycle, rotations around the sun? Theirs wasn't based on that. Theirs was based on lunar cycles, 30-day months, which is the cycles of the moon. That's how they based their calendars. Now you say, you're probably thinking what I would be thinking right now if I was sitting where you are. Preacher, where are you getting this? And can you show me this from the Bible? Yes, I can. We're going to go there now and take a look at this. We're going to look at how God's people use it. We're going to look at God using it in prophecy. Then we're going to apply it. Because if we can't prove it from the Word of God, it doesn't matter. If it fits or not, if it's not in the Word of God, it's irrelevant. So let's go now and take a look at the Word of God and see what it says about this. So, where can we see this? Go with me to Genesis chapter 7 and verse 11, and I'm going to show you an example from Genesis in the very beginning of the Bible we see it used. And then I'm also going to take you to the book of Revelation. I'm going to show you it being used in a prophecy of end times in the New Testament in the final book. So in other words, I'm going to show you from the beginning and the end. I'm going to show you about historical record in Genesis to biblical prophecy at end times. So you're going to see this calendar used, and I'll explain it when we get there. So if you would, please go with me to Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, and I will pull it up for you. So Genesis chapter 11, and I put these side by side so that whenever we get to the bottom, you can see it. Don't skip ahead. Don't look yet. You're going to ruin the surprise. We won't explain it, but I put it up there together so you can look at it and see how we got it. All right? So Genesis chapter 7, verse 11. Here's what it says. In the 600th year of Noah's life, again, pay close attention to the months and the days. In the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep broken up and the windows of heavens were opened. In other words, the floodwaters began on the second month, the 17th day of the month. Now, go just one chapter later and look at when the flood stopped, when the waters receded. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 8 now. We're going to look at verses 3 and 4. And in verses 3 and 4, it says this, "And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, that's important, the waters were abated and the ark rested. In the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat." So you may have noticed that it says that the floodwaters began there on the second month, 17th day of it, and we see that they abated, they began to recede, right, on the seventh month, on the 17th day. But what's more important than that is notice what this tells us. It tells us the number of days from the second month on the 17th to the seventh month on the 17th. It says that was a span of 150 days. That's 5 months, 150 days in those 5 months. So if you take those 150 days and you divide it by the 5 months, what do you get? You get 30-day months. The Jewish calendar consisted of 12 months, like we have today, each month having 30 days for a total year of 360 days, not 365. And we see that play out right there in Genesis. If we take those 5 months and divide it by what we've been told here in the Word, we can see that they're 30-day months. If they're split equally, they're 30-day months. And the reason we can know they're split equally is that we see that 150 days not only lands us in the same month, but on the same day of the seventh month. That's how we know they're equal, each one. Now, we're not done yet, though. Now, head over to Revelation chapter 12, and we're going to see it used again in prophecy of the end times, which is what we're talking about. So it fits perfectly that we should use it. So head over to Revelation chapter 12, and we'll take it one more instance of where we see this used. And I've got it again. There we go. Computer's giving me issues. All right, so Now, if you're looking at Revelation chapter 12, head to verse 6, and you will see that he's giving us, of course, Revelation we know is speaking of the end times from John the Revelator. And what do we have here? It says, "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So if you do, you take that number it gives you, that's 1,200, and we said 60 is 320, so 60, 1,260 days. That's the time that she's going to be protected by God, sheltered and fed in the wilderness, right? Now, go just a few verses later to verse 14. Just a few verses later. And it gives us the exact same description. It tells us the same thing, but it gives us the time in a different way. But it's clearly making the same statement. There in verse 14. "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness," just like it said in verse 6, "into her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and a half a time, from the face of the serpent." Now, if you remember whenever we did our study in Daniel chapter, I want to say it was 7, where we talked about a time, times, and a half a time. A time is 1 year, a times is 2 years, and then a half is a half a year. So that gives us a 3.5 year period. So clearly these are talking about the same thing. The woman, which represents Israel, fled in the wilderness, provided for. One says 3.5 years. One says 1,260 days. Do you know what you get if you take 1,260 days and you divide it by 3.5 years? You know how many days you get in each one of those years? 360 days. Why? This prophecy that it's giving us is using the Jewish calendar. So we see it being used in Genesis and historical record. We also see the exact same calendar timeline being used here in Revelation, speaking of the things to come. So now, instead of doing our calculation for those 69 weeks based off of the Gregorian Roman calendar, let's use the calendar that we see used in the Word of God when God gives prophecy. And then we'll see what numbers we get and see if it changes anything, which I think you probably figured out it will change some things. So now, in order to do this, and I'll show you what we did here, we have to convert it. We have to convert it from a 365.2422 solar year into a 360 Jewish year based on lunar cycle. To do this conversion, we have to do a little bit of math, but like I said, I've got you covered. It's right here for you. We have the 483 years that the prophecy speaks of, times 360 days per year, because we're using a Jewish year, and it gives us the total number of days in that prophecy. Comes out to 173,880 days in those 483 years. Now, the reason we have to do that is because now we're going to take this, as you see, and we're going to divide that by solar years, which is how we keep time today. 365.2422, that's a solar year. And the number of years, according to, now this is the same amount of time, right? Understand this. Either way we look at this, this is the same amount of time. One is in Gregorian calendar. From the Gregorian calendar, it'd be a 476 years, 25 days. By the Jewish calendar, it would be 483 years. But the amount of time is the same. It's just two different ways of looking at it. It's like saying, here's a dollar in a dollar bill. Here's four quarters. It's the same value. It's just two different ways of getting it, okay? So we haven't changed anything. We're just looking at it differently. Now, let's add this up and see now what we get. Did I do a spoiler on the next one? Yeah, if I click this, it's going to be a spoiler, but that's okay. We'll explain it anyway. I was hoping to explain it before we get there. All right, so remember how I said pay attention to the months and the days? There's a reason. All right, so let's calculate now. If we take our starting date, and if you have a calculator, feel free to do this with you. You can pull out your phone, use your phone calculator to see this for yourself. We take that starting date of 445 BC, which is the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, which we know is when the walls decree went out to rebuild the walls. We take that date from Scripture, and we add The 69 weeks that Daniel talks about using the Jewish calendar comes out to, of the years we use today, 476 years and 25 days. That's what that 0.2422 of the solar year, if you use the same calculation, it gives you 25 more days. So it's exact number. Where does this put us at? That puts us at in the month of Nisan, sometime between March and April, by the Jewish calendar, on the year 31 AD. However, we have to calculate the 1 year for the zero still. You add the 1 year, and it puts you in the month of Nisan, 32 AD. And if you follow the 25 days, it puts you on what some believe is, and we don't know this for certain, there's no way we can know the exact day, so I'm not teaching that this is that day, but what many believe to be as Palm Sunday on 32 AD. And if you don't know what Palm Sunday is, that's the day that Jesus Christ first rode in, the only time really, rode in on that colt of a donkey, fulfilling the prophecy saying that the Prince, the Messiah, would come into his people. He rode in on Palm Sunday into Jerusalem, and we know that it was a few days later that he would eventually be crucified or cut off. So that's how we get that calculation. That's, again, that's not the only way that I've seen this calculation done. I've seen many other interpretations of it. The numbers and all of that isn't important. I only shared that with you because it's interesting to see how, if we follow the book of Daniel and we use biblical prophecy as our guide, it clearly is pointing, and this is the main point. This is what I'm driving at. This is what I want you to take away. Not the numbers. The numbers aren't what's important. What it tells us is important. What's important is it clearly identifies that the person it's identifying as Messiah is Jesus Christ. Because whether this is the exact date or not, it's clear that this is talking about Christ who came in on a donkey within about 3 years, give or take, depending on what camp you're in, of this date. So that's why we went through all this, to point out that Daniel is speaking and identifying the Messiah. That's why the first 69 weeks are interesting. And that's why we did all this, so I could show you that if we look at all that, it points, again, one more of many proofs that the Messiah was Jesus Christ. Even though the Jews absolutely refuse that, it's pretty clear cut that it is. So, and that's the end of our slideshow. So for the last of this now we're done with the 69 weeks. We've clearly shown that this is speaking of Messiah. Again, we're going to run just a little bit late tonight, but I think it'll be worth it. We've got the last week to talk about, right? Now we get into Daniel's 70th week. We're not done with the prophecy yet. And I want to explain to you, there is a gap of time between the 69th week and the 70th week. Obviously, a lot more than 7 years has passed since Christ was crucified, right? There is an undisclosed amount of time, there's a gap in between the 69th week and the beginning of the 70th week. Now, a lot of folks, there's two different names I've heard this referred to, this gap of time. It's either known as the church age or the time of the Gentiles, all right? And it's a time frame in which we are awaiting for the final week to begin. So now that we know that's where we are, let's take a look if there's any indication, like we saw before with the 69 weeks. Let's see if there's any indication in Scripture as to when that 70th week is going to begin. Because remember, all of this is telling us of things to come. In Daniel's time, it was far future. All these things have come to pass now, except the week, the 70th week. Let's go take a look now at the last parts of this prophecy. So go with me to Daniel, back to chapter 9, if you're not there already. Head on down to verse 26. We're going to now get into the 70th week. So it says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. So Christ is crucified, and we know that's what it's talking about, because right after it, it gives the identification of why he came and died, but not for himself, right? He came to die what? For sinners, right? That's why he came. He didn't come for him. Now, the next part is when we start getting into the 70th week in the kingdom of the Antichrist. Pay close attention. Try to remember what we've been over so far in Daniel's prophecies, and you'll begin to see some things here. It says, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now, we have to take a look at this. Notice it says, the prince that shall come. You may remember, just prior, when we were speaking in one of Daniel's other prophecies, it talked about the prince and the king of Persia. Do you remember how I told you that? Notice it gave an identification of the prince, and then right after, in the very next verse, it talked about the king. Well, it clearly wasn't speaking of the same person. The prince of Persia is indicating, when in that prophecy, if you remember, I'm just giving you a refresher here, was talking about the person who is currently reigning as king in Persia, but his power wasn't his own, because a prince's authority and power isn't the prince's. It comes from the one who's the king. Because of the king, the prince has authority and power, right? Notice it says the prince that is to come. It's talking about the prince of this world, who is the Antichrist, who's going to get his power from Satan. So let's take a look at this. So it says the prince that shall come, or he's the ruler who gets his power from another, shall come and destroy everything in war. Now, many Bible quote-unquote scholars, if Keith was here, he'd give you he'd throw up the scholar quotes, right? They all believe that this happened and it was fulfilled as Emperor Vespasian of the Roman Empire in 70 AD when they sacked Rome. It says that they came in like a flood and destroyed everything. In fact, Christ even talked about this coming in his earthly ministry. He even said that not one stone is going to be left. And that's what happened in 70 AD when they came in and destroyed everything. Then, of course, it tells us that war and desolations are determined until the end after that. Go down to verse 27. It says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. It's speaking of the Antichrist, going to confirm a covenant with the many for 1 week. Now, the 70th week of Daniel, it begins with this covenant. This is where it begins, all right? Notice we see the 1 week. It's talking of the 70th week from Daniel. That's the 1 week, the 7 years. So what's happening here is, and we're seeing a lot of this beginning today. As I said, I believe we're in the end times. Here's what we're seeing. Israel on the world stage is not very popular, is not very liked. Everyone basically hates and wants to destroy Israel, right? They're persecuted everywhere they go. Well, what we see is that this kingdom of the Antichrist, which from our prior studies shows us that it's going to be a conglomeration, a union of 10 nations that are going to come together to form this kingdom of the Antichrist, which wouldn't surprise me at all, because if you take a look at the UN and the EU and all of them, you see that Israel is not looked at very well by pretty much anyone except us. And that is even changing here in America by a lot of the youth. So we see that they're all coming against him. Well, what this tells us is that he's going to confirm a covenant with the many speaking of Israel, for 1 week. So this coming prince, who it tells us that he shall come, tells us that he has roots from the Roman Empire. Now, what does this mean? Well, we don't know exactly yet. We're going to have to wait to find out what that means. All we know is that he's identified as having aspects from the Roman Empire, and we see that from Daniel's prior visions with the strength of iron. So he's going to make a peace treaty with Israel for the final week, the 7 years. This begins the time of the tribulation, which is a 7-year period. Now, what comes next? Next verse says, and in the midst of the week, the middle of a 7-day period is what? 3.5. 3.5 years into this 7-year time known as the tribulation. He shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So in the middle of that 7-year period, 3.5 years in, he's going to break the covenant with Israel and basically wage war against the nation of Israel. Now, this is what we've known in the Bible is often referred to as the Great Tribulation, okay, which is often nicknamed as Jacob's Trouble. And the reason it's called Jacob's Trouble is because of what we just read They're going to come after Israel 3.5 years into that treaty. All right? 3.5 years in. So, and why do we call that Jacob's trouble? Because Jacob was the father of Israel. From him came the 12 nations. Now, that, and it shows us that this is going to be, this is going to come up until the end time. Now, there's only one thing really left to talk about, not concerning the 70 weeks, but here in Daniel's prophecies, and I haven't really decided whether or not I'm going to go in depth on this or not, because it's pretty meaty, and that's in Daniel chapter 11. If you've never taken a look at Daniel chapter 11, and I encourage you, go take a look at it. It gets rid of a lot of the symbolism, and it just tells you directly kings, kingdoms, names, and it starts breaking things down. It's a very big chapter. So I don't know if I'll get into that or not. I may save that for a later time to tie in with Revelation, but we'll see here. Maybe next week we'll do that. That concludes the 70 weeks of Daniel and the prophecies of the end time and what to expect and what's coming up. Hopefully you've seen from our studies tonight, hopefully you can see that the 69 weeks are talking about definitely, without doubt, the Messiah coming, which it tells clearly in the scriptures. And I hopefully, through all of our calculations here, you've been able to see that no matter how you want to calculate that, of all the three or four different ways that a lot of people like to use, I think it's clear to say that it's definitely speaking of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Then we have the seventh week, which of course is speaking of the time of tribulation. We see what's going to take place. We see when the great tribulation begins, and we see how that's going to unfold. So hopefully you guys are learning a lot. Hopefully you're interested and enjoying this as much as I am in studying and bringing it to you. And yeah, I hope that you're really enjoying all of this. Please join me. We'll close out in prayer and we'll dismiss. Father God, we thank you for the time that we've had here tonight, Lord. We thank you for the word that's been preserved down through the ages through men that you have inspired, Lord. We thank you that you've given us an insight, Lord, that you've given us a look at the days to come, Lord, that we could be prepared always for what's coming, Lord, that we would see the signs and the sights, Lord. Father, we thank you for these scriptures and the prophecies, Lord, not only tell us of things to come, but Lord, they also serve as a strengthening support for our faith and our hope, Lord, in the days to come, and giving us knowledge, Lord, into what your word tells us. Father, we thank you for what you've done, Lord. We thank you for the church. Again, we pray for all of those on the prayer list. Lord, again, we lift up Pastor Fox as he goes out to, Father, to preach and to give the word of the gospel. We pray for all those down at Meadow Creek, Lord, that you'd be with them and use them all in a mighty way. Lord, we pray that you'd bless that ministry. Father, we pray that you'd bless Bluestone Baptist Church, each and every one of us here, Lord, that you'd use us in a way that you'd be glorified and that the lost would be brought to repentance. Father, we thank you so much for your many blessings day by day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.